Buccaneers fans, the mighty sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. He's got some sort of sweater on.
I got my coffee.
He's got his coffee. Lee's here. Lee's got his diet.
The guy did a lousy job with my coffee, Steve. I want to get that on
the record. What's wrong with the coffee?
It's got no kick to it. Give me a little kick. Give me a little caffeine. That looks like pablum in there. Pablum.
You know, it takes about 25 minutes for a caffeine to kick in, Iris, so give it a little time.
All right.
You got a little time.
Do you ever get Cosmo a pup cup?
No, but I chop up some steak and give him some steak bits. He always gets something in it with his kibble. He's always getting something.
You gave up steak for the dog?
Well, leftover steak. Cut it up a little bit.
Ira has leftover steak. We thought you'd wolf it down. I'm impressed with your discipline.
Cosmo, of course, is Ira's wonderful Boston Terrier. Now, Ira, if Cosmo were driving, he would go to Bill Curry Ford and ask for the employee pricing.
Not a pup cup?
Yep.
But he wouldn't even have to ask because it's employee pricing for all right now at Bill Curry Ford. Shop at BillCurryFord.com. Need a new Ford Bronco? Everybody wants a Bronco.
All three of us have Ford vehicles.
I don't have a Ford vehicle, Ira, but I do have two vehicles from Bill Curry Ford.
That's right.
So you
can
buy a used vehicle there. They got a fantastic selection.
And they want your vehicle.
Transparent pricing. They're buying vehicles. Lee's got an F-150. You've got your 2020 cherry red Ford Escape. And you can be like the sage and shop at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium. So easy to get to. Huge dealership. Huge showroom.
Totally refurbished.
Biggest service department in the Tampa Bay area by far. 100 loaner vehicles. I mean, they roll out. It's high class because they can do anything for you there.
Body shop. They'll come to your freaking driveway.
Come to your house. If you want to test drive a vehicle, they'll bring it out to your house for you to drive. No problem. So, I mean, everything is made easy. They're open Sundays. BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, later we'll talk about Florida's Elite Restoration, our great friends there. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Check out their 5-star Google reviews and be prepared for storm season. Ira, your impressions of General Manager Jason Light's 12th pre-draft news conference of his career, not this year.
Lee, here's my takeaway. Maybe I'm misinterpreting what Light said. I think the most important point that I got from Light's 23 minutes, besides him not sweating, which I think is important and tells you all you need to know about the state of the Bucks going into this draft, he said something about the talent evening out at a certain point. And I think he was even talking about deep into the first round, where all of a sudden there's a drop off and then everybody's a tier two and a tier three. So what I'm saying, Lee, is I think... And I don't want to say it's a bad draft, but it's not a stellar draft. It's not. And here's what I mean by it.
No quarterbacks?
There's no Caleb Williams. There's no Brock Bowers. I don't care how good this Warren guy is. He's not Brock Bowers.
Tyler Warren.
There's no Miles Garrett. Abdul Carter's good. He's not Miles Garrett. He's not going to be the first pick in the draft. If he was that good, he'd be the first pick in the draft. There's no Adrian Peterson. I mean, you know, Jonte's good, but he's not Peterson. Who I think went seventh in his year. He's going to Hall of Fame.
He's damn good, though, Ira. Come on.
He's damn good. Cutter told me he's special. Cutter told me he's special, and he's the...
I wasn't all that impressed. I mean, I've seen him before. He's good, don't get me wrong, but Penn State did an okay job on him.
He bounces off guys, though, Lee. He's tough to bring down.
Yeah, he's...
I don't think Light and his staff and Bowles, I think there's a good chance they're not going to be... dazzled by who's there at 19. I don't think they are.
Dazzled?
Bedazzled. and what do you do if that's the case, Lee? You move back.
Is that what happened to Minnesota a few years ago when it couldn't get the card in?
I don't know. There was a movie called Bedazzled that had Raquel Welch in it. That's all I know about. 1967.
Way back machine we're going here.
Lee, I think there's a darn good chance they move back and pocket those damn third round picks. I could see it, Lee. I could see it.
I don't know what this is all about. I saw a Twitter from Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. There's some kind of AI mock strategy or something like that. I haven't had time to check it out. What little I did check out, of the 5 stars available, this AI project gave the Bucks 3 stars trading up. How they factor that in, your guess is good.
You mean the likelihood?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I don't see him trading up.
Ira, what Light said was, to narrow it down a little bit, he said, quote, so you might be able to get the same player in the second round, the same level player as you can in the fourth round at certain positions. I don't think he was BSing anybody. We've seen some of this from draft gurus, and you know, he predicted fewer trades down. But of course,
he did.
But I thought that was kind of funny, because if you're predicting fewer trades down, and then at the same time you're predicting fewer trades up, because you got to have somebody's
right,
trading
yes.
up.
Yep.
So
that's also part of my takeaway, Lee, is he doesn't think there's going to be a mad scramble to go from 24 to 17. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, tells me that the first round's not that deep, Lee. It's not that deep.
Is this year the first time in the Super Bowl era that there's been zero first-round draft picks traded so far? I've heard that on NFL radio.
I'd be surprised if there aren't any trades in the first round.
Yeah, but this was like with 2 weeks before the draft. Never in the Super Bowl era has there not been a first-round draft pick traded.
I don't see, like, relinquishing more draft picks. He doesn't have a lot of picks right now.
Well,
and I don't see him giving up third-round picks. I just don't.
So you walked away from One Buck Place.
Saying it's a mediocre draft.
Mediocre draft.
At the top.
And I think the GM wants to trade down. That's what you walked away with. That's where you're leaning.
Mediocre draft in terms of the first round. I'm sticking with that.
Mm-hmm. It's not top heavy, is what you're
saying.
But
my main point is Light's track record on day two and three has been stellar.
Ooh, even day two? The second round pick used to be his bugaboo.
I don't think it is anymore.
Okay.
I don't think it is anymore.
Take off that Ronald Jones jersey, Ira.
I think he trusts the scouts to the point where we can get a lot of value in the third and fourth, even the fourth rounds. They don't have a lot of picks, right, Steve? They don't have 11 picks.
No, they have all their picks. They're minus, I'll double check it, fourth round. I think they're down a fourth round pick.
Ira, did you win the over and under when Light was going to mention Mike Beal?
Did he? He did mention Mike Beal by name?
Yes.
Wow. When he was talking about Spike Tech?
I think so. He rattled off his bunch of names. You know.
Greenberg's name come up?
No.
Jackie Davidson?
No.
Your favorite?
No. Well, I have nothing against her.
Steve, this is not a great top-heavy draft. It's not.
Sage says not a top-heavy
draft. Adamant.
Now, the Bucks have a fourth-round pick. What they're missing is a sixth-round pick.
Do they have any multiple picks?
No, no multiple picks. They're not sitting on a pile of picks here under any circumstances. But, Ira, okay.
The humanity, they don't have a sixth-round pick.
Now, Jason Light, our GM, I call him the Ring of Honor GM because I think he's already earned it. Jason Light, he stepped out of his comfort zone. He said
he wore shorts.
Aside from wearing shorts.
And not sweating.
Which really speaks to how peaceful he was and how confident he is in his job. He stepped out of his comfort zone in a rare non-humble moment, and he wasn't even joking around. He said, last 3 years, quote, I would say that combined, those drafts combined were elite when you add them up together, so we'll try to keep doing it. So he says put together 22, 23, 24, and his draft is elite.
I'm not going to argue with him, Lee. I'm not.
Now let me.
Well, the PFF frauds will.
Frauds is right.
Half the starting lineup, you know, and you can, I'm being.
They got two guys over the age of 30 that are starting. Two.
You can define it how you want. I'm being conservative by saying half the starting lineup is made up of drafted players 22, 23, 24. So you could call Tyke Smith the starter if you want to.
I think I would.
Some people might call Jalen McMillan
a
starter.
Lee's still left.
Frauds is right.
Lee, take a sip of your drink over there. I'm worried about you.
Some people might call Jalen McMillan a starter, but there's a lot of names in there, you know, from McCollum to Cade Otton, Rashad White, not a starter, used to be a starter. But bottom line is, however you slice it, there's at least 11 starters in there and key role players. Very few teams can say that.
And you know who appreciates it most?
For a 10-7 club.
You know who appreciates it most of all?
Ed Glazer?
The Glazers.
Yes.
The Glazers. They're all in on Light. They're all in.
As they should be.
As they should be.
Yeah, he gets the job done.
And right now they're all in on Bulls. And you could argue that till the cows come home.
When Joel Glazer spoke at the owners' meetings, I can't recall him being so relaxed and happy. And it's a good time to be a Bucks executive. Light's happy and content. Bulls seem happy and content. Glazer seems very happy and
I don't
content.
Like it. It's dangerous.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
I don't like it. And I don't like your column. And you know what? The first comment on your column.
You already got a comment out there?
First comment on your latest column at joebucksfan.com. Headline, Time to Chill. And you wrote about Jason Light, you know, confidence, all the stuff we're talking about. First comment says, Ira, no, it's not time to chill. It's not pick a guy. It's time to put your foot on the gas. We got a shot to win here. Go get a beast. Be aggressive in the draft. Try to win this damn thing right now.
I got a beast. His name's Reddick.
I agree with this guy. I mentioned it a couple
times.
You sure
you didn't write that comment?
I didn't write it.
I mentioned just such a thing to Light a couple times. He bristled at that.
Yeah, the Bucks are, it's like they're overconfident, over-relaxed. You got a chance. They believe that they're going to win the division, right? Rightfully so. They should believe it. They know that, hey, if we're healthy, we can play with Detroit. We beat Detroit. We beat the Eagles. We got the Eagles' number. We're this, we're that. We're strong.
The Chiefs in overtime.
We're strong in the trenches. We got a Pro Bowl quarterback. We're good. Let's go all in, man. Defend yourself on this time to chill column.
I think it's going to be hard for a rookie to break into the starting lineup.
Really?
Whether it's an inside linebacker. I'm not sure that he's going to beat out Dennis if Dennis is healthy. I'm not sure about that. They like Dennis. They like him.
I like him too, but I like him even more if he's on the field.
I understand that. If it's a corner, don't forget, they had a lot of defensive injuries last year. Like, and they're thinking, especially Winfield.
Yeah, yeah.
They're expecting a big boost from the return of Antoine Winfield.
Well,
they are.
He was so invisible. I thought about this a couple.
That's like getting a first-round draft pick.
He was so invisible last year. I get it. He got hurt. But he was so invisible. I have to wonder, why did you put him on the field? And I love Winfield. But if he was that hurt, he shouldn't have been on the field.
You two boys are worried about complacency. That's the word.
You boys are worried. I'm not necessarily worried about complacency. To use a phrase Steve just said, put your foot on the gas. You're that far away. I got my thumb and finger about an inch apart. You're that far away from making a Super Bowl run.
Make it count. You want to jump from 19 to 2 and get Abdul Carter and give up next year's number one and a 2 and a 3 this year?
Take it easy. They don't have to go that crazy, but you know what? They could still make a trade. They could find an established player out there that they might want to add, maybe an established pass rusher. I don't know. You could get better at tight end. You could maybe trade up for Warren, who you like very much in the draft.
Top 10. He's
you could
top
find
10.
A way to do that. I mean, I wouldn't argue with much. I mean, heck, I would like to see him bring in an extra coach, you know, maybe a seasoned veteran. I understand Tom Moore is there. I'm not knocking Tom Moore. But maybe you bring in an extra advisor for Grizzard to bounce things off. I don't know. Maybe there's a guy
named
out there.
Gruden?
maybe. Foot on the gas, Ira.
You want foot on the gas.
Yeah.
Foot on the gas.
What do you make of this? When Light was speaking, he doubled down on Chris Braswell.
Yeah, he did.
Now, I mean, I hope Braswell does well. I'm not going to kill the guy. He was a rookie. Speaking of invisible, he was damn near invisible. A sack and a half. Again, I'm not going to rip a rookie edge rusher because they rarely do anything unless their name's Bosa. Still, 1.5 sacks is like, that's, I don't know. But, you know, Light told you on your podcast,
shock
is the word. Braz was going to shock. And then when Light spoke about the draft, he mentioned he's going to have a coming out party. Now, I got to ask you, Ira, how's a guy supposed to have a coming out party, or shall we say shock, to use Light's specific word, when you're not starting? Where's he going to start? I mean, he talked about Braz was going to have a plan. I don't know what that plan is. I don't know if they're moving him to inside linebacker. I don't know. You know, you figure Yaya's going to start. You figure they dropped $12 million guaranteed on.
They're not moving him at all. They're just going to think he's going to
be situational.
He's going to be a situational stud.
So how can you shock and have a party if you're a part-time player? I don't get that.
I'm not putting any stock into it. Steve, he probably said the same thing about Shoyenka after year one when we were ragging on JTS. Bowles might have said it also. So
he actually did come to think of
it.
Steve, Bowles.
This Braswell thing, I'm not. It's not keeping me up at night thinking about Braswell terrorizing quarterbacks.
Look, Braswell, they got to gas him up a little bit. I'm sure they believe that. Look, he showed some things in practice. We've been down this road before. Oh, the guy didn't play late in the year. So his trajectory, as Team Glazer would say, arrow pointing down.
Yep.
But they're jacking the arrow up right now. He is going to get his chance. So, look, Anthony Nelson through the years has played 35% of the snaps or so through his career. This is hard to believe, but he was a 2019 draft pick. So we're on his seventh season. And so maybe they feel Braswell will get
those snaps.
Three
contracts, right?
Third contract.
Ira, what would shock be from Braswell? 6 sacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's more than tripling what he had.
Yeah.
And
In part-time work.
And by the way, a commenter on Joe Bucks fan. Yeah, forgive me for not remembering these guys' handles, but I am giving these people compliments. One guy said, oh, goody, Carl Nassib's disciple.
You know, like Steve's pointed out, Nassib. He was useful for a year or two.
He was good. For a couple years. Players voted him a captain. Bulls went out and said it's one of my favorite guys I've ever coached.
Is he out of football?
I think so.
Man, he might be out of football.
I think so, yeah. So, all right, look, Jason Light says that his drafting's been elite. I agree.
He didn't say his staff.
Yeah, his staff, his coaches, all that. Yeah. So
Paul McCartney.
Sage, as we cruise ahead here, what else from Jason Light stood out? The man talked for 20-something minutes. I'll give him some credit. What else stood out to you?
Well, he never mentioned the word quarterback, which is good. If they were looking for a quarterback, they wouldn't have brought Trask back. So we don't have to get too involved over there. He really didn't specify what parts of the draft are heavy. And has a lot of depth to it.
He sort of admitted defensive tackle. When I asked him about it, he sort of admitted.
He didn't want to admit it.
You threw out the number 20.
Yeah.
He didn't agree with it necessarily.
Well, he said if there could be a run. He said it could happen if there's a run. I got that from Greg Cosell. You know, Greg Cosell, NFL Films, he's obviously very well connected with heavy hitters. Directly quoting Greg Cosell here. I was told by someone in the know that don't be surprised if there are 20 defensive tackles drafted in the first three rounds. And I specifically asked Light about that. I told him this is what Greg Cosell said, or he heard. And Light, among other things, said, well, there could be a run, so it could happen if there's a run.
He said a couple of funny things, Steve. At the end, he said he's a fan of mock drafts. If he wasn't a general manager,
he's bored.
He'd be all over the mock drafts.
Yeah, these guys read him. He acknowledged that that's part of their process. He didn't say it was more than 1% of their process, but they pay attention.
One thing we haven't talked about, Lee, over the years too much about draft preparation, I think the Bucks are good at it. I think they're very good at it.
What, bringing food out for us?
Throwing darts with blindfolds?
Intel.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think the Bucks are good at it.
Yeah.
And Light's worked in enough places and knows enough people around.
That's true.
You know, and they're good about picking up stuff, what people are saying, what they're not saying. I think that's part of the process that the Bucks are very good at, Steve.
I just thought of this, Ira. Light was recently, during the owners' meetings, he was on Kay Adams' show. And you were talking about this subject before we were on the air.
Kay Adams? No, no.
Okay. Don't get me distracted here.
All right.
It's a long day, Ira. Don't get me distracted. Kay Adams asked him about this, and Jason Light says they have ribs in the war room, they have wings.
Yeah. Pizza.
Yeah.
Mandatory.
And we don't get anything.
Are you listening to this, Brian Ford? Are you listening? You got 2 weeks to gear up. Jimmy John's, Firehouse Subs, we don't care. Some potato chips on the side, a pickle, and some lemonade to wash it down.
Kosher pickle?
No. Dill.
Okay.
Dill. And if you do that, I might show up. Are you with me on the intel thing, Steve? You think they?
I think he's proven to be good. You look at the 2018 draft when they traded down to get Vita Vea, who they said that was their number one target,
and moved up to get Wirfs because they were worried moving that up, another team was
moved up to get Wirfs.
Take there's, the Niner pick.
There's a story behind that. Now I think the intel needs a little bit of an asterisk when it comes to Vita Vea because they could have drafted Josh Allen. So
yep.
Obviously they had Jameis, but it was going into 2018. He was coming off suspension. There's a chance the Bucks could have said, you know what, we think this guy's got Hall of Fame potential. Let's, you know, the hell with it. So, but yes, very good with the intel. They accomplished their goals, which is what you want to do in the draft. You want to know, how do I accomplish my goals? Now, Jason Light did say something very intriguing, Ira. Very intriguing. And he used the word algorithm as well.
Yes, he did. Yes,
and
he did.
And he said, look, and he was sort of sending up smoke screens and smoke signals about Jihad Campbell of Alabama, the linebacker, who a lot of fans think.
Which he never mentioned the guy's name?
No.
No.
A lot of fans think would be a perfect fit for the Bucs at inside linebacker next to Levante David. Light said, well, you know, we don't want to draft a guy with an injury history and a guy who's injured. You know, it's part of our algorithm, you know, looking at that. And it was as if he was sending a message. When I heard that, I was thinking, well, you know, Jamel Dean was injured through college. You know, missed a lot of time. But obviously, you know.
Wasn't Holden Davis hurt,
Dean
too?
Had success. I don't know about Davis in college being hurt, but it's a skill to draft injured players to really understand who's a chronic issue, who's not, who had bad luck. But your thoughts on his comment on the injured players and the algorithm?
I think over the years, he's become more and more conscious of the injury factor. Of a guy in college, maybe a pattern, a history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a turnoff for him. Now, what's not a turnoff for him, Lee, which I'm surprised, he talked about immaturity.
Yeah.
And he's willing to give a guy a little bit of leeway on the immaturity
level. He's demonstrated that already.
Because these are like 19, 20-year-old kids.
He's demonstrated that already.
Not a bad attitude, but immaturity.
Yeah. Well, that was Jameis's big thing. Everybody called him immature.
Now, Lee, something we talked about, somebody asked Light a question about, and it wasn't you, but the question was, Jason, when you look back over the years about pass rushers, edge rushers, and your history, what have you discerned about the process, and are you changing the way you're evaluating some of these edge rushers? He had a very interesting answer, Steve. He said, well, you could tweak some of the things that we're looking at in edge rushers when we look at our history. But then another guy comes along with some of the same traits that we admired, and then he goes somewhere else, and the guy's a home run hitter. That was pretty interesting. That was almost a shot at some former coaching staffs, maybe.
Well,
not using the guy in a proper way.
Well,
maybe.
I'll just say this. This franchise has hexed by edge rushers. After the Bucs drafted Leroy Selman a scant 49 years ago, name another edge rusher this team drafted and developed. I'll wait. And everybody else has been waiting for 49 freaking years.
And they've drafted plenty.
49 years,
I drafted plenty.
Yes. And
Does the name Daquan Bowers come to mind?
Well, when you talk about injuries, that's the first thing I thought of was Daquan Bowers, although I know that was a Dominic pick. And the second guy I thought of, Steve thought Light was gaslighting Jihad Gamble. I thought Will Johnson.
Will Johnson's another example, Lee.
Yeah, and the funny about the Daquan Bowers draft, which
guitar
was...
Guitar strumming.
2011, Adrian Claiborne had a degenerative issue with his shoulder, his arm length, and he had an issue, and that's who they picked as an edge rusher in round one when they passed on Cameron Jordan because Mark Dominic thought he had too big of a personality, and that's on the record, which is...
Wow.
As Jordan
Which
entered,
is what you would look for.
Jordan enters what?
His 15th year, and he's on track to be at least a Hall of Fame finalist. And the second round, they picked Daquan Bowers, who many considered a first overall pick at one point, but he fell because of his chronic knee issue. But the Bucs got them both. So way to go.
I got a quick story, guys.
And they both got hurt.
And I remember this, Lee. What year was that, Steve?
And they got rid of Michael Bennett.
2011.
Okay. That night, after the second round, I don't know if the second and third rounds were together that year. I don't remember what the format was.
Is this the one about the 2001 club?
No. So I was at one Buck place, and I saw Raheem, and he might have had a cocktail in his hand.
During the draft?
No. This was after it was concluded.
Okay.
And he was gushing about the home run hit that they hit with Daquan Bowers. He wouldn't let me go. And back then, I was grading the drafts for the trip, and... him and Dominic go, this is like 1 o'clock in the morning. And did you grade the draft? Yeah. What'd you give us? I said, B-. What? B-? We got Daquan Bowers. I'll never forget it.
Should have given him F.
That is an absolute classic
never
story.
They should have gotten an F.
You know, the immaturity line from Light really intrigued me because, so they draft Jameis. He was like 21 in 3 months. They drafted Josh Freeman, young.
Light didn't draft.
Just saying. Drafted Ronald Jones. He was 20 years old when he arrived at camp. Mike Evans, 20 years old when he arrived. That was when players pre-COVID years were coming out early. Now, and also they weren't getting paid, right? So now the guys come. Nobody comes out at 20 years old anymore. One or two here and there. But everybody's coming out much later. The COVID guys finishing up their sixth year of college ball. I mean, I get what he's saying about immaturity, but you know what? You have a pick of non-immature players out there, and that's still out there this year in the draft. So I don't know if you have to necessarily go with an immature guy like you would before. It's an interesting way to look at it.
If a guy's considered a bad apple as opposed to just being a little immature because they're
young.
That's
different.
That's different.
Yes.
And the Bucs will have nothing to do with it. That's one of the big changes in life. He's not going to do it. He treasures the... sorry, Lee. The locker room and the chemistry. Too much. He talks about it all the time, Lee.
I know, but
he does.
I just hate the word
and he credits
culture.
Bowles a lot for it. He does.
Ira Bucks fans, you know what? We were talking about chilling and confidence and just pick the best guy and relax. Bucks aren't under any stress here. Just get it right with simple moves in the draft.
Don't do anything stupid.
How electric would the fan base get? How fired up would they be? Rightfully so. If the Bucks got bold in this draft, moved up, maybe got rid of a second-round pick next year, to a team to get back into the first round and get another guy and really be aggressive as hell to try to win this thing this year. Man, at some point, an organization needs to look at the entertainment value and the home run value of winning a Super Bowl. You can't talk about our ultimate goal is the Super Bowl and then sort of, you know, go a little soft when you got a shot to hit the long ball.
I don't think there's going to be a difference maker at 25, Lee, to get back in, you know, later in this first round. I'm looking at the names late in the first round on the mock drafts. They don't excite me. I don't see them as
mock drafts don't excite me.
Who excites you, Ira? Who do you want to draft?
You just mentioned her name.
Well, Abdul Carter excites me because I haven't heard anybody say he's not going to be great. They think he's going to
well,
be great.
Well, they're not getting Abdul Carter.
All right, they're not getting Abdul Carter.
it's not happening.
That top cornerback excites me, even though he's...
Hunter?
Well, no, not Hunter. They're not going to get Hunter.
Will Johnson?
Yeah. Will Johnson. Well, he's going to be in there.
He's a top 10 pick, I think, even with the injury factor. Steve, I've already mentioned this is a mediocre draft. And in my opinion, now, Sean Sullivan might take exception with that, but I've been around a lot of drafts. I don't see high-profile guys. Where's the Randy Moss of this draft?
Yeah, exactly. There's not like last year.
Steve, is there a can't-miss wide receiver?
No,
a can't-miss guy?
That guy was a freshman in Ohio State, so he's not in the draft.
Is there a Michael Irvin in this draft?
There's other wide receivers other than Lee's favorite, Egbuka, in the draft. You know, he's not everybody's number one necessarily. You know, the Beast draft guide has McMillan out of Arizona. Kind of a Mike Evans type, 6'4", 213.
Who's the blazer that
basketball
the Bucks,
guy?
Who's the blazer that the Bucks
the
had?
The Texas guy?
The Texas guy. Matthew Golden, who they brought in for a look. Now, Lee talked about previously, they're probably bringing him in to get intel on cornerbacks and whatnot. But, you know.
He's a blazer, right?
He's a blazer, but he's also 5'11". I don't know. I mean, Todd Bowles, especially in light. I mean, they like that prototype of the big number one guy. And then there's the guy out of Missouri, Burden, also another, you know, polished target.
What is shock you, Ira, if they brought in, and I wrote about Golden, I threw this in there. Because the Bucks, after, you know, when they brought him in for one of these 30 visits, and those things are mostly,
right,
you know, espionage more than anything.
Right.
Could the Bucks actually draft a Golden to replace Trey Palmer? Because they really don't have the deep threat, a go route guy outside of Mike Evans.
Ira, what do you say about what Lee has to say from the standpoint of replace Trey Palmer? How about we just use Trey Palmer? What's going on there?
I don't want to use him as a return specialist. I don't see much out of him.
True.
I don't see it. You know, guys, I think we're underestimating the kickoff return changes that are right in front of us. Steve, the 35-yard line, I'm not giving teams the ball at the 35-yard line.
Here we go again.
I'm not doing it, Lee.
So you give it to them at the 30.
A freaking first down or two, and then they kick in a field goal.
Exactly.
Right off the bat. No, I'm not doing that. So the special teams guys, they better get their act together. I think there's going to be more emphasis on this than almost ever before. You know what's funny about this? They're screaming about all the injuries on kickoff returns, and now they have a rule.
I know.
Enact a rule. To try to get more kickoff returns.
I know. And
they're
then,
all over the map.
And
Steve.
Then they're trying to ban the tush push where there's zero evidence, there's injuries, but, oh, there might be a catastrophic injury. Well, why give this Dr. Sink, what, $2 million to be on staff? You can go hire one of the palm readers from Madeira Beach for $60,000.
I know they've changed the format of the kickoff return. Nobody was returning kicks last year. It was very very unusual. Very rare.
This one day it's bad, the next day it's good. This Goodell, it's driving me nuts.
I never thought there was an inordinate amount of injuries on kickoff returns. I never bought it.
And
I don't know what the data showed.
And they got rid of the onside kick. Injuries, oh, we can't have that. But let's have an 18-game schedule.
Where were the injuries on the onside kicks? Where were
thank
they?
Thank you. Thank you.
The game's got injuries, Ira. Anything else?
You got Trey Palmer on your mind over here, Steve. You're talking about a fifth receiver on a football team. You're worried about
it. Well, we're talking about replacing Trey Palmer. How about we just use Trey Palmer? He's not hurt. He has played 2 years now with Baker Mayfield. You know, maybe Mayfield doesn't like him. I don't know. But he's on his third coordinator now. And the guy caught 39 balls 2 years ago. I think he's 24. He doesn't seem
well. Lee makes a good point about stretching the field. I don't think he's handled that assignment very well in terms of stretching the field.
No, 2 years.
I don't think he's done it.
When he got his shot, he wasn't that good.
He can stretch the field. That leads me to the question I was going to ask you. Chemistry is a hard thing to talk about. You either have it or you don't between players. And this is not a knock on Mayfield. It's not a knock on Palmer. for whatever reason, the long ball to Palmer on those go rounds, they've never had chemistry on that.
Right.
So that makes me wonder, maybe this Golden, there's legit interest. They didn't just bring him in to pick his brain.
I'll say this, though, Lee, and you'll back me up. If they take a receiver in the first two or three rounds, which I don't think is crazy.
No.
I'm with you on that. That guy damn well better have some returnability. He better have some returnability.
And by the way, Egbuka does.
And that makes even more sense to draft the receiver in the first three rounds. Let the guy help your return game.
You know, Ira.
I'm not sold on Palmer in the return game.
The duck didn't help Palmer, did he?
You know. He averages 8 yards on his punt returns. His long one is 12. Can you break a 40-yarder once in a while? That could win you a game, Lee.
Yeah, it can.
It could win you a game.
You know what cracks me up, Ira? And I mean this in all seriousness. If the Bucks take this approach that you're talking about, you know, this approach of chill out.
I didn't say don't take the draft seriously.
No.
That I didn't say.
No, but, you know, with less of an urgency, you know, you want to pick the right guys, but the approach from here
I
forward.
I said they're not desperate.
They're not desperate.
You think they should be desperate.
I think you got to attack it because what happens, seriously, what happens if the Bucks go 10-7 this year and they win a playoff game, lose in the second round? What happens next year? A year from now, we're sitting here saying, they got to win this year because this is, we can't
well,
keep.
Well, then Bowles is on sketchy ground at that point.
But
maybe.
My point is that if you're feeling that, hey, a year from now, if we're 10-7, even if we win the division, even if we knock off Minnesota in the playoffs and then lose to the Eagles, we got a hot seat mentality. We got to win now. How about you just bring that mentality now? Don't wait till the next year. They've already made a big move. They signed Hassan Reddick.
That's a big move.
How about two big moves? I'm not saying they can't win now. I'm saying that, you know, just go for it. Look what this team did. They went out, ran out and got Gronk. They ran out and got Antonio
Brown. That's because of Brady.
Well,
what about Mayfield?
He's not Brady.
If they think they can win. Let's go try to do it.
I like an idea of stacking up third-round picks and filling some holes that way. I just think this is the kind of draft to do it with. I don't see the 27th pick being a difference maker.
I mentioned, you know, it's Steve's philosophy. I personally mentioned it to Light twice, and he bristled. He didn't like that.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that. Guys,
I'm not saying don't take the draft seriously, Lee. I didn't say that you weren't.
Ira, emergencies, urgency, Florida's elite restoration. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Now, let's keep it more plain spoken here, Ira. Everybody who owns a home or a business has to know what to do if they encounter mold or a flood or water appeared and you don't even know where it came from. It's been behind the washing machine.
Happens all the time.
For weeks. Happens every day, all the time. I had a burst pipe. I didn't know about it for like 10 days. It was hot in my bedroom and hotter and hotter and hotter. And all of a sudden, realized the floor was hot in a certain area. It was hot water that was under the tile. Insanity. But this happens. You got to know who to call because there are a lot of bad actors out there in the restoration business. You need people with experience who know how to work the insurance side of things.
A lot of shysters in the insurance business.
And you need people like Florida's Elite Restoration who have the experience of navigating that whole system for you. Otherwise, you're going to run into problems. It's just how it is. Check out their 5-star Google reviews. They cover the entire Tampa Bay area. They're across the state, and you simply have to call them first. It's free to get your assessment, your evaluation with the technology. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan. You'll get $500 back. If you end up needing to sign up with them, they'll do everything if that's what you really need. After they restore, if you need them to replace your kitchen, they can do that too. One-stop shop. Educate yourself. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Ira, anything else from Jason Light? That hit you in the eyes there.
I don't want to read too much into this, Steve, but I didn't see him sweating. He's a confident man at this point with some reason to be confident. No flop sweat. No tissues, no handkerchiefs to the forehead. And he's a big sweater, Light. You know that. He could go to Antarctica and be sweating. He's a confident man, Lee, and I think with some reason. I think he's entitled to be a little confident. Not to the point where he says, I've got this. You know, because that can be dangerous. But they prepare very well, Lee. They prepare. And they look at how they think the board's going to fall. It doesn't always fall that way. But they have the scenarios. I like the scenarios, Lee. If it goes this way, we're going to do this. You don't want to have to do that in 10 minutes. You want to think about that beforehand. And they don't panic. And the Glazers are right there next to them on draft night to make sure that they don't screw this thing up.
I'll just say this. You're talking about Light being at ease. He walks up to the podium in a pair of shorts. Look like he's going to go to the golf course after the.
Unbelievable. And you're talking about putting foots on people's necks over there, Stevie.
Foots? What the hell's a foots?
Foot on people's necks.
Feet? It's a use, right?
Yeah, feet. It's a use. That's a use. So you want to be ultra aggressive.
I just want to see him get better. You know, Bulls blitzes a lot. I'd love to see some better blitzers in here. I think there may be an eye toward that. I know that they viewed Tyke Smith. One reason he was drafted.
Winfield can help, Steve. Winfield can help. Old Winfield can help.
Tyke Smith that they drafted, who got after the quarterback, he didn't do that as much last year.
He was hurt, too.
Yeah, he didn't do it a lot.
And, you know, if they move him back to safety, I could see them drafting a more aggressive nickel. But I just get the feeling that Bulls, he wants some home run hitters here, some big bodies. I think they're looking for superior athletes, better ones than they've had before.
Kenneth Grant.
I hate to break this to our man, Lee DeKemper here, Steve, but I might as well end the podcast with this. Bulls goes to bed every night.
Thinking
about the number 7. Interceptions. 7.
Oh, I thought you said Bucky Irving.
7.
See, I go to bed at night thinking of number 7 and Bucky Irving. You're thinking of turnovers.
That's the difference between
you're
you and head coach.
All right, Ira, any plans for this weekend for yourself?
Well, I could hit the links. I could hit the tennis court. I got to get in shape for you. And they're trying to sell me on an electric guitar, so I might go to a couple of porn shops. What did I say?
Porn shops.
Well, there's a great story about that.
I might go to some porn shops and see if I can get a deal on a nice little Les Paul or Stratocaster.
I'll say this story real quick. I used to work at a place. There's this lady from Philadelphia. She was a sweetheart. I was in my 30s. She was like pushing 60. And we went out to lunch one time, and she's driving.
Hey, now.
She goes, you ever go to one of these porn shops? No. What do they sell in those porn shops? I'm like, I guess toys.
Oh, boy.
She goes, what else? I said, I've never been in one. I don't know. And I thought she was talking about porn shops, not pawn shops.
You thought P-O-R-N. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
All right, Ira. The Sage is not retired. He'll be back next week on the famous Ira Kaufman podcast. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. And if you made it all the way through, why not leave a review? Podbean, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening. That's always cool. And remember, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there this weekend, BillCurryFord.com. Employee pricing all weekend. And Florida's Elite Restoration. Check them out. Even if you don't have a problem, check them out now. Look at their website. Look at their reviews, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Then you'll be prepared. All right. Have a great weekend, Tampa Bay.